Good morning. It's 19th of April. Our New Testament reading today is John 12. I'm going to read to you from Brother Melva Purkis, A Life of Jesus. I read. In common with all the villages within easy reach of Jerusalem, Bethany was filling quickly with worshippers. Many had come from afar. They had heard of the fame of Jesus. His exploits had been discussed by little groups of Jews as their boats ploughed through the sea towards the coast of Palestine. Travellers in caravans passing northeast to Damascus and southwest to Egypt told eager pilgrims of the latest events in Jerusalem. They spoke of the popularity of the prophet, who accompanied his words with miraculous power. Bethany held a particular interest. Everyone was anxious to see the man who had lain dead in the tomb for 4 days. So great was the effect of this miracle that the chief priests were anxious to put Lazarus to death, and would doubtless have done so had they been able to contrive it secretly. It was Friday when Jesus reached Bethany. With sunset, his last earthly Sabbath began. The long, hot journey, the incessant clamouring of the crowds, the miracles, above all the city to which he drew nearer with each mile, all these things combined to make the familiar home a haven of peace. After a refreshing sleep, Jesus would accompany the little family to the synagogue, and then, in response to an invitation, they went on to Simon's house to partake of the Sabbath feast. Simon was known as the leper. It was probably a title he chose to retain in grateful acknowledgement of his healing, for there can be little doubt that his cure was one of the hundreds of miracles unrecorded in the Gospels. We imagine Jesus reclining between Simon and Lazarus, two powerful witnesses of the glory of God and the authority of his Son. Martha, true to character, is serving at the table. Mary, holding a small box in her hand, is looking steadfastly at Jesus, indescribable love mingling with sadness and a sense of loss reflected in her face. Sitting at her master's feet, she had learned from his lips of his approaching death. In her heart, she knew it must be so. She could not attempt to draw him back from the coming ordeal, as Peter had done. Realising that the end was near, and that the wonderful experiences she had enjoyed with him in her home would soon be but a memory, she was filled with unutterable sadness. Yet it was her love, not her sorrow, that triumphed. A love so deep and pure that it must find expression. She had come to bid her Lord farewell. Quickly she came forward now, broke the box of spikenard and poured it gently over her Lord's head. Then, kneeling, she emptied the ointment on his feet and wiped them with the long tresses of her hair. John, vividly remembering the occasion and understanding its beautiful significance, records that the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. Yet its fragrance was not discerned by some of those who were nearest to it. To Judas, it was an unwelcome scent. He saw only a flagrant dissipation of wealth he could have put to better use. He kept the common purse, and he was a thief. But he veiled his disappointed treachery in fair garments, and in doing so, he deceived some of the disciples who had not the penetrating discernment of their Lord. Why, he asked, was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? There are many acts of homage that seem to have little practical value, yet they are fragrant, and Jesus understands the loving devotion from which they spring. It is fatally easy to pass harsh judgments upon tender expressions of love which we fail to understand. That, I think, is a lesson for all time. Thank you for listening.